My guest at this time is Andrew C. McCarthy, a former federal prosecutor best known for leading the prosecution of the blind sheikh Omar Abdel-Rahman and conspirators in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He is the author of multiple books. His brand new work is Faithless Execution, Building the Political Case for Obama's Impeachment. And Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, my pleasure.
Well, there's obviously a legal component to impeachment, but you say in this book, until there's the political will for such a thing, proceeding down the road of impeachment is essentially pointless, regardless of the alleged crimes. Explain why.
Yeah, well, impeachment, as you say, does have a legal component. The framers wanted there to be a very clear legal standard, which they arrived at in high crimes and misdemeanors, which is not really statutory or penal code type crimes like I used to prosecute when I was a government lawyer. It really involves, as Hamilton put it, the political wrongs of high public officials. Basically, what they were most concerned about were breaches of trust, dereliction of duty, breaches of the high fiduciary responsibility the president has, and anything that would undermine the governing framework of the country, the Constitution. And I think once you understand that that's where they were coming from in terms of what an impeachable offense would be, it becomes pretty clear that we've had quite a number of them. But in their genius, they also wanted to make sure, knowing that removing a president is very socially disruptive, that we had a standard for removal that would not allow impeachment to come and exercise in partisan hackery. So what they require is a two-thirds majority, a supermajority in the Senate for removal of the president, and that ensures that unless you have a broad consensus among the public, one that cuts across ideological and partisan lines, an attempt to remove the president, impeachment is probably a non-starter. So that's why I say it's essentially a political remedy. You can have 1,000 provable impeachable offenses, but if the public is not of a mind to remove the president from power, then the president won't be impeached in the sense of being removed from power.
Ultimately, as you just mentioned, you say it comes down to whether the people demand that the country returns to its constitutional moorings. Does that demand, in your mind, exist on a large enough scale right now, or as you watch the political developments in this country, that it could get there?
Well, it doesn't exist right now in terms of a will. I think if you ask people if the president's committed impeachable offenses, they probably overwhelmingly say yes. If you ask them if they wanted the president removed from power, I think a lot fewer people would say yes. But, you know, politics is dynamic. Things change. As I point out in the book, in 1972, Nixon won re-election with the largest then landslide in American electoral history. And in 20 months, he was gone because he couldn't survive politically once the country became riveted to presidential lawlessness. But it's not something that happens overnight. You know, in that instance, it took 20 months.
You are pretty tough on congressional Republicans in this book for a number of things, but one of them is for rarely standing up to the president, as you see it. So what are the most important examples of that, and how does that tendency impact any impeachment effort if the public will does arise?
Well, I think that the framers didn't expect that we were going to be impeaching presidents all the time, but they did give the other branches, and particularly Congress, not only the power but the obligation to rein in excesses by executive power, which is something they were very concerned about. And the main way that they were that the main tool they gave Congress for that purpose is the power of the purse. The president's opposition has been supine; they haven't been willing to do anything along those lines, and. You know, the way you really stop presidential lawlessness short of impeachment is you cut off the money that the president needs to carry it out. They haven't been willing to do anything like that. And in fact, you know, the one time that some of the Republican conservatives in Congress tried to cut off the money from Obamacare, which is an immensely unpopular program, they were castigated not only by the press but by members of their own party. So I think it's become very hard structurally to use the other tools the framers gave us, in part because when Republicans oppose the president, they get demagogued as racists and the like, which is really an unfortunate thing that's happened to our politics. But the other thing is the government's become so big that when you start cutting off money, you're always talking about somebody's transfer payments, and the Republicans never want to be in a position of being, you know, portrayed as, you know, mean ogres who are taking food from babies' mouths and money out of people's pockets.
Andy, for most people, there's been two trips down this road in their lifetimes. For younger folks, one or perhaps none. You mentioned the Nixon scenario. Had he not resigned, he would have been impeached and most likely convicted. Bill Clinton, of course, was impeached, not convicted. And as a result of that, there seems to be a great trepidation to even go anywhere near it. As you point out in the book, it's called the I word. When the Democrats got control of Congress, a lot of folks wanted to impeach Bush over the Iraq war and so forth, but the leadership never wanted to go there. That was more just kind of the fringe who was talking about that. So how did particularly the Clinton impeachment color this debate for future impeachments?
I write at some length about this in the book, Greg, and I think what has happened is the Clinton impeachment, they've taken really the wrong lesson from it. What happened, I think, in the Clinton impeachment is that they went forward with articles of impeachment that clearly stated high crimes and misdemeanors. I don't really think that that's debatable, although some people do try to debate it. But the real problem with it was there wasn't a public will to remove the president from power. And unless you have that, it can not only be a mistake to go forward in the sense of, you know, not being able to achieve impeachment, you can actually end up encouraging presidential lawlessness because, and, you know, spin it out with what would happen with Obama at this point. If you filed articles of impeachment, you'd have a trial in the Senate, and at this point, you'd probably lose that one by, you know, something like 70 to 30, I'll say. That would be spun by the media and the administration as an approval of President Obama's methods over the last few years. So you'd be setting out to try to correct presidential lawlessness, and you'd end up actually encouraging it.
Andrew C. McCarthy is a former federal prosecutor. His book is Faithless Execution, Building the Political Case for Obama's Impeachment. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.